Well, the attack on the Iranian embassy in Beirut comes as negotiations over Iran's controversial nuclear program resume tomorrow in Geneva. Those talks failed to produce an agreement earlier this month. For more, we are joined in the studio by Ken Pollack. He's a senior fellow in Middle East policy at the Brookings Institution. His new book is called Unthinkable: Iran, the Bomb, and American Strategy. Ken Pollack, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, first of all, your response to what we've just heard and how this bombing today may impact the talks.
Well, I think the short answer is that it's not going to impact the talks. Both Iran and the West have good reasons for moving ahead with the talks. The bombing has nothing to do with that. That said, I think that there is an important angle that we need to keep in mind where the bombing does come back to the talks. And it goes back to Mr. Campanis's points there at the end of the last interview, that we need to recognize that these talks come in the context of a wider war going on. And I wouldn't call it a cold war. I think that it's a very hot war between Saudi Arabia, the Gulf states, Jordan, even Turkey, and to some extent Egypt, the Sunni powers of the Middle East, who believe that they are waging a all-out war against Iran and what they see as Iran's Shia minions. And it's why the Saudis and the other Gulf states are so vehemently opposed to this deal with Iran, which they see as a sellout to the Iranians. They want the United States to join them in this war against Iran, and they're very frightened that this deal is going to take the United States out of this fight, something that they don't want to see.
Well, how involved are we, the United States, in this war that you say is going on?
Not nearly as much as the Saudis and our other allies would like. Obviously, we have a peripheral role. We are pushing on the Iranians. We have sanctions against the Iranians. That's problematic for them. Obviously, there's some level of covert and cyber war that's going on with the Iranians. We are directing that against their nuclear program, trying to bring them to the table on that. But of course, it does fit into this wider image of a kind of American ally axis moving against Iran. But again, the Saudis are afraid that we will withdraw that element of our participation if there is a deal.
Why did the first rounds of talks fail to reach an agreement in Geneva to reduce the economic sanctions on Iran in exchange for Iran ending its nuclear program?
Well, I guess, again, a short answer, a glib answer would be, well, it always comes down to the French, who like to throw a monkey wrench in pretty much anything that is going on between the U.S. and somebody else. In a little bit more detail, as we understand it, when French Foreign Minister Laurent Fabius arrived in Geneva, he looked over the draft and decided for whatever reason that he wanted to make some changes. What both European and American officials are saying was that the changes that he actually proposed were actually quite minor. His diplomatic statements, his rhetoric was quite far-reaching, but the actual changes he proposed were minor. But this apparently really ruffled the Iranians' feathers. They felt there was a draft on the table, which they had effectively agreed to, and then the French foreign minister comes in and changes everything, and they're forced to accept a new draft. And I think that this was them pushing back and saying, look, that's not how we're going to do business. You guys need to get your act together. You put a deal on the table. We agreed to it. You can't just pull that out of our hands, make changes, and expect us to agree to that, too.
So do you have high hopes for tomorrow, the resumption of the talks?
I think that we can be quite optimistic, quite hopeful about what's going to happen. I think that the two sides are quite close to an interim deal. That said, I never thought that the interim deal was going to be the sticking point. This is just an interim deal intended to cover about 6 months to kind of freeze the Iranian program more or less in place in response for some very, very modest sanctions relief. The real issue is the final agreement between the international community and Iran. That's going to be a much, much trickier issue.
And not coming anytime soon.
Well, we don't know. The expectation is that 6 months that the interim deal is intended to buy, that's supposed to create the time for that final agreement. There's a lot of hope and a lot of optimism among all the different Western powers. It's really striking how enthusiastic so many American and European officials are, thinking that they can get even that final agreement.
Israel is obviously very important here. I want to listen to some of what's been said by Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He is arguing that sanctions against Iran should be ratcheted up, not reduced. Here he is speaking on CNN on Sunday.
I'm speaking not from a partisan issue, except one. I'm the Prime Minister of Israel, and I have to care for the survival of my country. And Iran maintaining its nuclear weapons capability, that is, the capacity to produce nuclear weapons, threatens directly the future of the Jewish state.
And this is something that Netanyahu has said basically before. Here is U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry responding to these concerns on MSNBC.
I respect completely his deep concerns, as a prime minister of Israel should have, about the existential nature of this threat to Israel. We understand that, which is why President Obama has made this firm commitment that Iran will never get a nuclear weapon.
This all comes in after the situation with Syria, where the U.S. ratcheted up the pressure, threatened military action, and then pulled back when it was able to get what it wanted. What happens now with Iran?
Well, I think ultimately the question mark is whether we're willing to accept what the Iranians are willing to offer and whether the Iranians are willing to accept what we are willing to offer. I think that there's a lot of hope on the part of American and Iranian diplomats that there's finally a meeting of the minds, that what the Iranians are willing to concede and what we're willing to concede will be enough to get a deal. But we need to recognize, as your sound from Prime Minister Netanyahu made clear, there are hardliners on both sides and they have not been convinced.
Ken Pollack is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. He's also the author of the new book, Unthinkable: Iran, the Bomb, and American Strategy. You can read an excerpt from that book at hereandnow.org. Ken, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.